The fallen shall be forever remembered as the Emperor's finest. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Thursday, July 25th. I know, another delayed episode on such there. As I mentioned to anybody who listened to the previous episode, I did mention that there would be a delay just due to me being out of town. I was completely out of state and everything for an entire day on Monday. And then that just kind of, you know, made everything kind of get backed up in general and stuff with other crap I had going on. So Thursday was the day, apparently. So here we are. This is episode 50. And at this point, we are past the year birth, you know, the year anniversary of the Regimental Vox. So yay! Ooh, joy! Yeah, so it's been a year of doing this. As of right now, I'm going to plan to continue to do so if I can and stuff. There are possible changes in the near future here that may or may not affect the way that the Vox goes on from here. But we'll just, that's just going to have to be a wait and see for right now. So I don't want to let cats out of the bag or anything like that. My cat as it is enough of a pain in the ass. So, but we're going to go over some stuff today. I'm going to talk, you know, obviously some of the newsy mabobs, and talk a little bit about my, the upcoming league stuff that I have going on, as well as some first-hand experience I have with Warcry, actually earlier this week. So, but before we get into all of that, this is actually part of why I wasn't certain about getting started with this episode, and I just decided to say fuck it and just go for it. At this point, most of the community is already well aware that this past Saturday, the man himself, Jeff Robinson, Jeff in Control Robinson, passed away, rather unexpectedly. I've heard a few different things here and there as far as what happened, but it basically sounds in a lot of ways like one of those freak things that, you know, you get older and, yeah, medical science is great. We can keep people going a lot longer than we used to. But in general, we used to have an expiration date around this point in time. So, yeah, it's just been kind of weird, actually, this past week, just thinking about it. It, basically, it kind of sounds like it might have been like an undiagnosed medical issue or something like that. That just came out of nowhere, basically, that earlier in the day Saturday, doing his normal stuff, and by the end of the day, that was it, and he's just gone. It sounds like it was fairly quick and painless, most likely, which is good, but it definitely puts a lot of things in perspective. A big thing for me personally, and there was there's a blog I follow up, of a guy's chaos army that he paints and stuff, and he had posted some similar stuff saying that put some perspective on your own sense of mortality, because I mean, Jeff Robinson was 33 years old, almost 34. You know, I'm going to be 33 here very shortly, so it's, you know, not that much older than me. Not even a full year older than me, actually. So, from what I could gather. It just, in, you know, I have some issues myself, namely high blood pressure and stuff. So, you know, it just kind of, it's just fucking weird, you know. And especially because of, you know, just not that long ago, listening to Chapter Tactics and listening to him shit talk, you know, Ireland and stuff like that. You know, all in good humor and whatnot, though. You know, not being a prick about it. Just that, and that, you know, that was one big thing that I highly appreciated about the man's sense of humor, is he literally was just no holds barred, but it was just all in good, you know, good clean shit talking, for lack of a better way of putting it. And you know, there's a few different podcasts that I listen to that kind of inspired me as far as doing my own podcast, getting in, you know, getting back on the horse and getting more into the 40K competitive community, and things like that. And you know, Jeff Robinson was a really big inspiration in those regards for me, just because, namely because of the fact that, like, you know, like just as an example of another podcast I greatly enjoy, Flying Monkeys podcast. The big thing that, you know, him and like guys like that have in common, and myself, is just this, you know, no holding back, just shit talking, and but not meaning to do it in like a hateful or spiteful way, but just straight fucking funny shit, you know. It's very human, and it's very refreshing, you know. There's some other podcasts I listen to where they're, you know, very concerned about being super polite and very concerned about, you know, keeping things PG rated, and such, and that's fine. I'm not knocking them by any stretch. But when you know somebody just is like, you know, I'm gonna speak my mind, and but once again, not be a prick about it. That's a difficult line to walk, but it creates, you know, something very entertaining. But like I said, very inspiring too. I had, you know, just listened to him on Chapter Tactics, like I said, and then just a couple weeks ago, he'd actually answered a question of mine on Chapter Tactics, and such. And then, you know, I watched some of his stuff from the ATC a couple weeks ago when he was participating in that. So it's just kind of crazy that's, you know, that's it. He's gone. He's a big inspiration, like I said, personally. And I know that he's definitely been a big inspiration for many people throughout the 40K community. You know, especially as he rose from his StarCraft fame and rose up into 40K fame, became a, you know, shoutcaster for Games Workshop and such. It was definitely, you know, a pretty cool thing to see this man just rising up these ranks and, you know, giving a voice to our community. In a lot of ways, he exemplified what I would say is the ideal of the 40K gaming community, or just like gaming in general. Just somebody who was, you know, fun and full of life. And then on top of all that too, though, a fantastic player. I mean, here was a man that people would get their ass handed to them by, but you've never heard anybody really speak ill of him in any capacity. You know, a great sportsman and an overall, you know, champion, exemplar, and ambassador of the 40K community. So, it's just been hard, you know. He meant a lot to a lot of people. I didn't know him personally or anything like that, but there's lots of people that do, you know, and there's lots of people truly heartbroken over this whole thing. And even me, you know, like I said, I may not know him personally, but it doesn't mean it doesn't affect me in any capacity. You know, I was sitting there Sunday night when I first read the news, and it just struck hard. And the big thing overall, actually, though, I Didn't have any of the waterworks or anything like that until I had read the dedication to him on the Warhammer community page a couple days later. I don't know what it was, but just namely right at the very end of the article. You know, it was a very short, well, not very short. It was just a short, but, you know, classy, well put together dedication. And at the very end, it had a picture, an older picture, for those who are familiar with, you know, older 40K rule books and shit. I don't know if the third edition was the first one to have it. I'm pretty sure it was third edition that it was one of the main pieces of art in the book, though. But it's a picture of the Eternity Gate with thousands of banners from all the major legends and heroes throughout the 40K universe and the Imperium that had fallen. And it just, right above it there, there was just one phrase. The Emperor knows his name. And that just really, that then it finally like struck me and I did cry. It was just, I don't know what it was, but just knowing that, you know, just reading that was just like this finality to the whole thing. So, but there are many things in work to memorialize him. I've heard that the BAO, the Bay Area Open, that the award henceforth will be dedicated in his name. There is, however, also another award that may potentially be in the works. And this is part of the problem, though. They don't want too many awards in his name because, you know, it kind of, they don't want to devalue it or devalue his memory. But they also don't want to pretend like it wasn't, that this isn't a major loss and, you know, memorialize him and stuff. So there is something that I've heard rumor of a sort of a Man of the Year type award for the ITC. Not just being the top guy who beat everybody else and stuff, but somebody who, once again, just like Jeff, there is like an ambassador, an exemplar of the community. So, and personally, you know, I think that's great that the BAO award from now on will be dedicated in his honor. That's cool. You know, but I do feel like at the same time, something like this, you know, this basically Man of the Year Sportsman Award is almost more befitting because Jeff wasn't just good at the game and he didn't just beat his opponents to, you know, to a paste or anything like that. He was what, like I said, what I envision and what I personally idealize as a true sportsman. So, and not just in 40K, there's, you know, there was the whole StarCraft community is obviously rocked by this news as well. But yeah, so I just wanted to, you know, speak my piece on that before we got into things beyond that. And, you know, just have a little send off and just reflect back a little bit there. So at this point, I'm just gonna have a moment of silence. So yeah, like I said, it's just kind of hard a little bit, but he will be remembered, you know. He will always be remembered in this community, and I think it's important that we remember him, not just because he was a cool guy or just because he kicked a bunch of ass, but because of the fact of what he stood for in this community. So definitely a legend and a hero. So, and in traditional Warhammer fashion, we shall let the bell toll once more for a lost hero. All right. Well, now that we've gotten all the tragedy and everything else out of the way, let's go ahead and, discuss what the man obviously exemplified and loved, Warhammer, and, gaming in general. So let's just, basically I just want to not forget, but celebrate his life the way that I would want somebody to celebrate mine, and that's continuing to spread the word and not stopping the signal. So, all right, moving on here then. Let's go ahead and discuss some of the newsy mabobs. All right, so this past week, there was not a whole lot of other news, namely because Warcry is coming up, which we'll be getting into all that stuff here shortly. However, they did have today, they did release the new FAQ and update for Chaos Knights, and also Forge World Chaos Knights and Imperial Knights update. So, whether you're doing Chaos or Imperial, there's some stuff there for you, but primarily the Chaos Knights FAQ is a big part of that. So, also, too, recently, the Black Library actually won an award, the 2019 Scribe Award, at San Diego Comic-Con. Black Library story did win one of these awards. The short story, The Darkling Hours, won Best Short Story category. So that's pretty cool. There was, it looks like, three total Black Library stories on the short list there. But The Darkling Hours did win out. So something to check out if you are interested in reading some award-winning material. There you go. So, they also recently, I haven't seen the new White Dwarf in full yet, but apparently, there are now rules for using a, kill team of Chaos Demons in, well, kill team. So, go to, the Warhammer community to kind of get, like, some preview stuff, but as of right now, it sounds like to get the full digs on it, you'll want to do the get the latest issue of White Dwarf to check that out. So, and then beyond that, like I said, there's not been a whole ton of other news beyond the Warcry stuff, which I just wanted to kind of roll into talking about my experience with it. There were recently two releases in the digital world of Warhammer. The Chaos Space Marines expansion for the Gladius game came out, so you can check that out now. My experiences thus far with the Chaos Space Marines in the game, I think they did a much better expansion than they did with the Tyranids expansion. Much, much higher quality. I didn't completely hate the Tyranids expansion, but it definitely left a lot to be desired, in my opinion. So, I think it's highly, if you have to pick either or, go with the Chaos expansion, by far. And I think both are worth their, have their bonuses and stuff. There were some things that surprised me with the Chaos one, as far as, mechanics-wise, I found it rather interesting for the most part. I do find it, once again, kind of like any of these strategy games that come out, Dawn of War or anything, there's always those key missing units that just make you go, ugh, I wish it had a different choice, and such, or just the way things are kind of set up is a little screwy or whatever. Namely in that, like, for example, you can totally dedicate, if you want to, you can dedicate your, you can use the marks of different Chaos Gods to dedicate your forces once you unlock those marks. But certain units are either limited. If you want to go totally lore friendly, it means that you can't build some of the, like, there's a Master of Possessions you know, he's a psyker, so that, you know, if you wanted to go all Korn and have nothing that didn't have the mark of Korn, that's not an option, unfortunately. You can still totally build it. Once again, that's just like if you want to choose to go lore friendly over gameplay, which obviously that's kind of the trade-off. But there's like some stuff like the demon princes, you can't just make a core demon prince or anything like that. It's just a demon prince, but they by default are a psyker, so you can't choose to make him a Korn one as well. And also I found the Helldrake rather unenthusiastic compared to like all the other races. Like I found in the game, the flyers are really powerful. The Helldrake, its main thing, I guess, is it's supposed to hunt flyers, which is great to counter everybody else's bullshit. But then what kind of made flyers really powerful was the fact that they could help you mop up the shit that's on the ground, which is your primary concern. So, just a little frustrating there. But and then the other big thing that's been released, the Heretic expansion for Mechanicus is out now too, and it's pretty cheap as well. I pre-ordered these back when they first became available and stuff, but it's okay so far. I mainly like the fact that it did add in like some extra troops and gear and whatnot. The campaign missions themselves have been rather okay. It just sounds like it's only adding 5 missions into it, so nothing to like totally lose your shit over. There is a like upgraded edition, the Heretic Plus, which includes a digital art book, an extra music track, and then you get a bonus, the Sufferer Shattering Axe. What's kind of annoying though is the Heretic Plus was not initially available through Steam, and you had to buy it direct from the manufacturer, which I rarely do, for various reasons. And then the next day they added it in, but there's no option to just pay for the upgrades separately. So it's just a little frustrating and annoying in those regards. But overall, still pretty cool. So, but lastly, you can now pre-order Warcry. So, and all the goodies that come with Warcry. So there's a lot of shit they got going on with this. The main starter set is $170. Now that does include a lot of different things though, that are worth noting here. It comes with the core book, and this is a big thing to emphasize value here too. So it comes with the core book, which is $40, separately. It also includes 2 warbands, and I don't believe you can buy those warbands separately right now, but I would say we can go on the assumption, it doesn't look like they have those available separately, so, but we can go on the assumption based on the cost of the other, they do have a third warband that is available separately for pre-order, that's $50, we can go on the assumption that those 2 warbands would be $50 a piece otherwise. So that brings your total up right there to $140 if purchased separately. It also includes these Warcry Battle Plan cards, from what I can see and gather, and a bunch of dice and stuff too. But let's see here. I'm just trying to do. No, I want the Battle Plan cards. There we go. And let's see here. Just double checking. I'm pretty sure it's... I forgot there is a bunch of other stuff there too in the starter set. There's some extra like beasts, 6 Furies and 6 Raptorix. So those aren't available separately either. So safe to assume that those would probably be like another $50 in total minimum. We'll just go with that just to throw that out there. Let's see here. It's got the Terrain, Deployment, Victory, and Twist decks. Which is actually everything. Okay. So the, the terrain cards aren't available in the battle plan cards thing. That's a separate thing for $18. So that's all included there, plus that terrain deck. You get a bunch of terrain included too, which, once again, they don't have a listing for it available separately. But based on the other one that they do have, the Corpse Rack Mausoleum, that's $90. It looks, you know, so there's that. So keep that in mind too. Overall, there's a ton of value included in this box set. And now what's kind of cool too is you can, if you have, if you wanted to, you can totally go ahead and say, well, I already have Stormcast or Nighthaunt or any of the few that they have available from the AOS factions for Warcry. You can just buy the card pack for them, which is $8. Boom. Now you can play that faction. And you can pick up the core book. All right, that's cool. But, you know, terrain is obviously part of it. And not only do these terrain things include, you know, physical terrain pieces, but they also include game mats as well. So that's really nice in turn there too. So overall, it's just kind of silly not to get the starter set unless you happen to already have a bunch of terrain and game mat stuff that you're already going to use anyways, that you're perfectly happy with. You already have a faction from AOS that you're perfectly happy with and you want to go with that and only that. You are just going to buy the core book separately with that pack for your particular faction. Cool. Whatever. You know, that and then the battle plan cards. Then it is still cheaper than in the long run. But if you don't have anything, any of that stuff to begin with, or if particularly if you want that terrain and everything else too, then it's, even if you just subtract the two warbands, just flat out say no warbands, poof. You know, get rid of those two warbands. There's still a ton of savings included in this starter set. So definitely worth checking out. They have a bunch of extra goodies too. You know, there's rulers, carrying case available, some art cards, all sorts of good jazz. So I actually did get the opportunity to try out Warcry a little bit, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. And I have to say, I was very, very impressed and very pleased with the game overall. Now, with the little demo that I tried out, there were not two full warbands. They were just three models apiece for this little demo that I did. And I chose Iron Golems. My opponent went with the Untamed Beasts. I did. In traditional Caleb Meyer fashion, I lost. But it was a really close game. And it was very interesting and felt very impactful the way you play. It was a very brutally fast game. Now, obviously, if you have a bigger warband, the game should naturally take a little bit longer anyways. But I didn't keep track of the time or anything. And obviously, we're both just kind of figuring this game out a little bit as we're trying it out. So, and learning about it as we go. So it's a little bit slower, but I mean, honestly, like I said, it was just this blistering pace. So if you are somebody who prefers a much, you know, longer drawn out, game system, you may not enjoy Warcry as much. But the big thing to keep in mind here is there's nothing to stop you from going, all right, you know, we're going to do a campaign. And you could play multiple steps in your campaign in one sitting then, as opposed to, all right, let's get together again in 2 weeks and, you know, do another 3 hours for the next step in the campaign, you know, or anything like that. So it definitely, like I said, was very fast paced. The mechanics were really cool too. I really enjoyed the way initiative works. I don't know if there's other games that use an initiative system like this. I haven't personally seen one. So it may be completely unique and original. It may not. There may be some other game that I'm not familiar with. There's mountains of games out there. But I thought it was a rather interesting approach. Basically, you roll 6 dice, and then you count the amount of singles that you get. So any dice that don't have any matches out of your set that you rolled. And that is your score for your initiative. Now, from the sounds of it, if you and your opponent both tie the same amount of stuff, you just keep rolling until, you know, you don't tie. But what's fascinating about it is it doesn't just go, okay, you got three, you got two, so guy who got three goes first. It does more than that. So what you kind of get in turn is if you, say you get initiative, say you roll, you know, six separate unique numbers, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You got six, your opponent got, we'll say he got one, two twos, and three threes. So he's got a single, a double, and a triple. You've got all singles. You get to go first. You get the initiative. Cool. But there's a bunch of abilities that you can use that require you to expend your doubles or triples or even quadruples in some cases. So in turn, if you are somebody who, you know, you just rolled, well, hell, let's say you just rolled, you know, six matches, you rolled all six ones, you know, and your opponent got all 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, they're going to go first, but now you have six dice that you can expend towards your double, triple, you know, towards these abilities that you have. Some of the abilities are universal. Some of them are only good for your particular faction. Some of them are only are good for your particular faction and a matching particular fighter type. So, then there's little rune marks on the cards that indicate that. As far as figuring out who does the damage and whatnot, it works like 40K. So you have a strength, your opponent has a toughness, you cross-section them. If it's equal, it's a 4. If you have more strength than their toughness, it's a 3. I'm assuming if you have double strength versus your opponent's toughness, it's probably a 2. None of the stuff we had that. So, and then obviously if your toughness, or if your strength is less than their toughness, it's a 5. If it's, you know, if their toughness is twice as much, I would assume it'd be a 6. So, I like that. You know, it's one thing that as much as I do enjoy AOS, it's because of the simplicity of the rules in a lot of ways. It's one thing I don't entirely like about AOS is the fact that nothing, you know, unless you have a special rule or something that negates an enemy's roll or something like that, they're just as powerful. You're just as powerful having your, you know, hitting a Grot in the face as you are trying to punch Rodigus or something like that, which just feels weird and awkward in a lot of ways. It shouldn't be. They shouldn't be equivalent in those regards. Also, too, what I did like was, unlike in Kill Team, where everybody pretty much has the same amount of wounds that they have in the 40K data sheets and stuff, here, they were completely more powerful. You know, there would be guys that had like 15 or more wounds even, as individual fighters. But you have all sorts of abilities that do a lot more damage. So, and that actually brings up a good question about that whole strength versus toughness thing. Because, for example, one of the characters, if you successfully hit your enemy, it doesn't just do one wound. What it is then you look at the damage that your weapon does. For example, let's say somebody's got you know, 1/4 listed as their damage rating. What that means is if you successfully hurt the enemy, for each successful hit there, you do that amount of damage. So, you know, let's say I need 3s to wound an enemy, and I get 4 attacks, we'll say. Let's say I roll a 1, a 3, a 4, and a 6. Okay, that 1 didn't do enough. Doesn't count. It's gone. That 3 and that 4 each do 1 damage apiece. But then that 6 does that second part. It's a critical damage. So, in turn, I actually do a total of 6 damage to my opponent then, in those regards. So, like I said, overall, it was a lot of fun. Really fast-paced and just, you know, you really got into it. I didn't explore any deeper. Like I said, I only had the 3 models that I was working with. My opponent only had the 3 they were working with. But it was a lot of fun. I really greatly enjoyed it. I'm really looking forward to the full release. I really want to check out the Corvus Cabal when those are out. So that's kind of the war band of choice for me. Just I like them aesthetically and stuff there. But at the same time, if you know, if I can possibly get just the Warcry starter set, I would love to have that. So, but I'm gonna go ahead and take a little break here, quick, and I will be back on the end part of the episode, and discuss a little bit of my upcoming league games and some stuff I've been working on listing wise for some AdMech stuff. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Regimental Vox. Follow the Regimental Vox on social media by going to facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast or on Twitter @RegimentalVox. Like what you're hearing? You can help support the show for as little as $1 a month by going to patreon.com/theRegimentalVox today. All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Regimental Vox. Going to discuss a little bit about my upcoming league stuff. If you hear my cat purring, it is because he wants all the attention in the world right now, so it is what it is. He is sitting in my lap at the moment. I am in round two of my league that I currently am participating in. And for this, I decided to do something different, just to try some stuff out. I've been building up demon stuff for AOS, so I, you know, decided to go with that. Now, I didn't have enough to do, the thing as it was, with that. I didn't have 2,000 points worth, so I am borrowing some stuff from one of my teammates as well, and I'm gonna try out this whole Chaos Demons thing. After seeing my opposing lists and stuff like that, I'm kind of like, damn it, now I really want my AdMech. I want my Onagers and everything else at this point. But it is what it is. I'm going to try it out. My overall, in general, my list is primarily, it's two battalion detachments. One is a fully dedicated Nurgle detachment, that I have some Plague Bearers, Nurglings, Plague Drones, Rodigus, Poxbringer, and Horticulus Slimix, all in that, and a Beast of Nurgle. So kind of using that as kind of like an anvil, so to speak, for the enemy to just kind of be screened on and kind of break apart on a little bit. And then my other detachment is a Khorne detachment, which has my Warlord in it, if I'm recalling correctly from my list. I have a lot of Bloodletters. I also have a Bloodthirster of Insensate Rage, and Karanak. So I'm totally unfamiliar with demons in a lot of ways. So this list may completely fuck up 10 ways to Sunday. But I wanted a different experience. And this league, while there are prizes involved and stuff, I'm also kind of doing this for fun. I shouldn't say kind of. I am doing it for fun. So the goal is to just try some interesting stuff out. That being said, last night I was just kind of tooling around on Battlescribe. I was like, you know what? I wanted to kind of mess around with some new ideas of an AdMech list. So I'm still kind of working on it. And as it stands, what's interesting is I was just kind of threw a bunch of crap in, pressed a bunch of stuff that sounded good, and I ended up at 2,000 points on the dot. I wasn't doing any calculations or paying close attention to everything. What I kind of did is I built three battalions just using some basics. Just two HQs, three troops choices, and then from there added on some flavor, and then went ahead and added in some upgrades and stuff like that. So what I have right now for this list, and like I said, this is not for the current round. It's something that I might want to try out in the future, in future rounds and stuff. So But yeah, we're just going to go ahead and go over this list. Feel free to chime in on the Facebook page with your opinion or whatever. This is not like a, oh, I think I came up with the best list ever, or this isn't final or whatever else. But I think this is kind of has some interesting stuff to it. So I have three battalions. All of them are Mars. So I have... I have for the first battalion, it just has three Ranger squads, all of them with just like the base five Rangers for starters, with just the galvanic rifles, you know. So four Rangers, a Ranger Alpha, galvanic rifles, and one of them upgraded to an Omnispecs. It also, though, has a Transuranic Arquebus in there, too. So, for each of those squads, one Transuranic Arquebus. There is an Engine Seer, and I also have Belisarius Call, using him as my Warlord, on top of that, too. So, this detachment is Mars. All three detachments are Mars, actually. And, like I said, using Belisarius as the Warlord. And that detachment, I also have three Onagers. All of them have Broad Spectrum Data Tethers. All of them have the Extra Heavy Stubber. Two of them have the Neutron Lasers. I somehow screwed something up. Damn! Now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, wait, no, I'm going to be... Damn it, I am 7 points shy of a perfect 2,000 there. I meant to have one of them as an Icarus Array. What? Who? Maybe I'll just do three Neutron Lasers. Man, weird. Anywho, I swear I selected the Icarus Array, because what I did is I created the one with the Neutron Laser, duplicated it, and then I created a separate entry for the Icarus Array, but damn. Now, I was all like, oh, I made 2,000 points completely by accident. It was an accident. I fucked up. But moving on, I might still leave it. Who knows? The next attachment has a Dominus and an Engine Seer, and then three squads of Cataphron Breachers, three apiece, all armed with the Arc Claws and heavy Arc Rifles. And that is a Servitor Maniple in there. And then I also have in that, I have three Scorpius Disintegrators, two of them with the Belarus Energy Cannon, and one with the Ferromite Cannon. So, just trying to bring a lot of armor here. And then I also have the last battalion detachment has an Engine Seer and a Manipulus with a transonic cannon. I have three squads of Rangers. Two of them are just like that, those first squads. They have the Transuranic Arquebus and an Omnispecs added on. The third squad, just 4 points purposes, is just the Rangers. It's just an Alpha and four Rangers. So, and then I've got two Castellan robots in a squad with the triple heavy phosphor blasters. And that's all a Cybernetica cohort. I think I got the two flipped around the right way there. In total, it has, 16 CP available because of doing those upgrades. I'll probably spend more CP on doing like the field commander stratagems and stuff like that if I do this. I feel like overall, this is a pretty solid list in a lot of ways. I feel like, though, it does have some glaring issues with it. It's a solid gunline style list with a shit ton of sniping, very powerful sniping, and there's a lot of redundancy there. It's been one thing that I've experienced and problematic in my games with my AdMech is having just two small squads of Rangers. One has one Arquebus, the other has two. Well, my opponent will just quick wipe out the squad that has two. Like, that'll be the first thing he does. Just wipe that out. And now I'm down to one Arquebus. He'll go after that next. Now, the enemy would probably do the same thing here, but it's going to be spread out. So he's going to have to expend more resources going after these things if he wants them gone. And wiping out one squad is not going to, completely obliterate my sniping capabilities. So it definitely has some potential there. I do feel like it's got some heavy hitters, you know. Apparently, I have triple neutron lasers. So that's pretty nasty. And Belisarius Call, with all of his crazy ass abilities and stuff, provides some really powerful auras, a bunch of canonical boosts, and all sorts of goodies. So, and that's part of why I went with pure Mars across the board too, was to maximize having all those canticles, as well as maximizing the amount of use that the amount of use that I can get out of all the character buffs and stuff there too, and the repairs, since you can only repair friendlies from your particular Forge world. Man, my cat is just going nuts right now. Sorry if you can hear him, but I do feel like this list can be outmaneuvered. I am a little concerned, too, that while I do have some heavy, punchy shit, I also feel like if that stuff goes, then the teeth of the army is gone. So, I'm a little worried with the maneuverability factor. Is not having infiltrators is a concern. And then as far as just punchiness goes, I don't have anything that really can deal with melee in this list very well. So, in a lot of ways, like I said, this is going to be treated very much as a gunline force. The Rangers, for the most part, are just going to sit. They're going to park their asses, and they're going to shoot at people. It's mission dependent and stuff, so I still need to monkey around with some stuff. I feel like maybe swapping out some of the Rangers for some Vanguard with arc rifles or plasma calibers might add a little bit there, give me a little bit more maneuverability and such, but we'll see. So, like I said, just kind of a list I just kind of tossed together last night on break at one point. And like I said, feel free to chime in, hit the Facebook, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast, and let me know what you think. So, but yeah, that's about it for this week, guys. So I will, I'm going to try and get back to Monday as usual here soon. Hopefully this coming Monday, I will be back to the normal schedule. So, but I will let you guys know if there are any further delays or anything like that or changes. So just keep an eye once again on that Facebook page. So, but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all next week. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.